First of all, how are you still alive?
Well, that is a good question. A lot of the people that comment on the book ask me that same question. I am blessed. I'm one of the lucky ones that came out of it alive.
So what brought this on? Why'd you write this book?
I came to in a mental health ward in Houston, Texas. I knew I was being extradited back here. Everything I owned was gone. All the people I loved had distanced themselves from me. I had struggled with the recovery community, trying to put together some good sober time. So I was familiar with what was coming, and I knew that what's called the fourth step, which is when you write down your moral inventory, I knew that was coming. So I decided to get a jump on it. And 600 handwritten pencil jail pieces of paper later, someone read it and said, you should publish this. This needs to be told. And so I did.
And how formed was the story at that point? How formed was the actual what we have in a book now?
Mm-hmm. The outline of it was about the same. I joined a writing group to kind of teach me the craft. And there was about 200 pages that I had to take out that just didn't fit the story. So, but it pretty much flowed the way that it is in the book. When I got to the end, which is when things get real bad, I had to take a month off before I could build up the courage to revisit that again.
You grew up pretty much, you weren't born in Pensacola, but you pretty much grew up in Pensacola.
Yeah, I was born in Pensacola.
You were born in Pensacola.
I've lived in Pensacola my entire life.
Okay. How important is Pensacola to this story?
Well, Pensacola is, you know, it's not a huge city, and there tends to be an idea that the type of things that I saw going on in this town don't go on in a town this size. That there isn't really a drug problem here. That's for Chicago. That's for New York. And because of the anonymity, the recovery community, it doesn't get a lot of coverage or a lot of people talking about it for the reason that it's anonymous. Discussing that is a little taboo. But things have gotten to a point where I thought this is my personal experience and I needed to get this on paper and in the hopes that maybe someone might read it and it would help them. You know, that no matter how far down the scale that someone has fallen, that, you know, recovery and a happy life is possible. If I can do it, anybody can.
How typical was your growing up experience? Because reading the book, it seems like, sure, I know all these kids from high school. I went to school with the same types of people. Mm-hmm. I don't know if they were doing the same types of things.
Yeah.
So how typical do you think your experience was?
Well, you know, I think that, you know, at the beginning, I was kind of a heathen when I was growing up. And I did some things that weren't very nice. I think most kids do that, you know. The difference between me and them is they grew up a lot sooner. Recovery is a process of growing up. And, you know, where some of them may have drank or dabbled with drugs or did other things, they grew up and went on with their lives. And it was just something, you know, because I have this disease, because addiction is a disease, I didn't do that. I just went down that path. So I think, you know, I believe my childhood was typical. I had good parents. They're still married. Never missed a meal. Got everything I wanted for Christmas. There was nothing traumatic in my past that I could hang my addiction on and say that's why. And I think that's an important point, because sometimes I think some people believe that something bad has to happen to you for you to become an addict or an alcoholic, which is the same thing, by the way. And but that's not really true. And my story bears that out. Mm.
So they dabbled in drugs and you were kind of all in.
Yeah, yes. Yeah. I know some of those people today, you know, and they went to school like I did. You know, they got a job like I did. It's just they stopped doing those things and I didn't.
Given the attention that's being given to addiction now. I mean, we don't hear the word opioid without immediately hearing the word crisis right after it now. Mm-hmm. Do you think that's going to help people who are in the situation you were in before and maybe give them a little more help than you had?
I think that contrary to what the recovery groups talk about, that this is something the solution needs to be discussed. It's a difficult problem, and there isn't a 30-second solution to this, you know, a Hollywood solution to this problem. And my problem was me. It wasn't the drugs. It was the way I saw life. It was my attitude towards things. It was how happy I was with myself. That's a difficult thing for government to mandate. Someone has to want to do something about it. I think what's great about my story is it demonstrates that no matter how many failures at recovery I had, I still managed to get there. And the more we discuss it, the better it is for everyone. I do believe that.
Music is a very important part of the story. Mm-hmm. How is that pretty much the soundtrack of what you listened to that we saw in that book?
Yes, it is. Yes. Trent Reznor, who is Nine Inch Nails, is in recovery. He's been sober 18 years. David Bowie introduced him to recovery. That's all he sings about. And it is the soundtrack to my life, it seems like.
Well, not to give away the end of the book, but you did survive.
Yes, I did.
Was there a low point that brought it to you? Was there an event that you said, this is it, I got to get going?
Mm-hmm. Yes. This is the end of the book, but I attempted suicide and locked myself. And this is after I had 4 years of sobriety, started in 2007. Decided to go back out, and within the next 5 years, I lost everything. And I found I left Pensacola, the only time I've ever left, and went to Houston and attempted suicide. And I thought this was the end because no one knew where I was. And when I opened my eyes, I was in an ambulance. I was pretty angry about it, and because I didn't want to live anymore. But when after a couple of days, getting some sleep and some food, when I opened my eyes, I couldn't believe what happened the last 5 years. It was just like, what am I doing? And that was the moment for me that I just had enough. And I ended my marriage, 27 years, and decided that I was just going to take my life in a new direction. A peaceful, happy direction. And the funny thing is that now I help other people in recovery. That's the most important thing I do in my life. That's what helps me stay sober, is trying to be useful to other people and trying to be a positive force in other people's lives instead of a negative one, which is what I've been my entire life.
I'm trying to figure out how to ask this question. because you were sober 4 years.
Mm-hmm.
What does that say about this disease that someone who could be sober for 4 years could just go like that?
Well, I've thought a lot about that. And basically, during those 4 years, I was clean and sober, without exception. But I was still conducting my life the way I used to. You know, I was running around on my wife behind her back. I was taking money from work. I was treating people poorly. How I feel about myself, not how I think about myself, because my brain will lie to me. It'll tell me everything's great, don't worry about it. But in my gut or my soul, I know the truth. And how I feel about myself, my actions throughout the day, every interaction, even how I behave when I'm alone, is what sets me up for that relapse. And so my addiction touched every aspect of my life. My recovery has to do the same. It has to be how I conduct myself in all affairs. So today, I just don't conduct myself that way. And that is the answer. I'm convinced of it. And it's a tall order because at the beginning, it doesn't seem to have any correlation to addiction. But it absolutely does. And that's the difference with me now and me in those 4 years. for example, 6 months sober, the bank that I gave me $350 extra dollars in my envelope. I took out $100 and they gave me $450 instead. You know, I could have used that money, but I had to understand it's not a matter of the teller losing her job or me just being a nice guy. For an addict, that's a life and death decision. And until I'm clear on that, I will not be able to put together any good sober time. So I gave the $350 back because now I understand that dabbling in that crummy behavior is death for an addict. It really is.
You mentioned the book was step four. Are you in a 12-step?
Yes, I've gone through all 12 steps, and now I'm doing that work with other people.
How does that jive with your religious beliefs or lack thereof?
Well, the recovery program, which I won't mention, you can send me an email if you're interested, says that we should come up with a concept of a higher power. The nice thing is that it's one that I can deal with. And so I have a concept that helps me in my recovery. It's not religious, but it is something that works for me. The nice thing is that, because I was a hardcore atheist for most of my life, up until 2007, and all atheists use the same flaw in their argument, or have this flaw in the argument, and that is that they are negating someone else's concept of what God is. And all atheists do that. What I had to realize was that if I come up with a concept that I believe in, how can I not believe in something that I believe in? And it was my first stint in jail when they had nothing but to read but Bibles in there that I realized that the anger and the venom that I was full of my whole life trying to tell the world why they're wrong was a huge waste of energy, and it did nothing but hurt me. And so now what other people believe really is none of my business. And that is why, even though it was 10 years out, that was my first step towards recovery, even though I still had some more pain to go through. I had to quit fighting the world and come up with an idea that I could live with that would help me in recovery. And so that's what I've done.
Is there an American Addict Part 2 coming?
I'm going to wait 5 years. I'm writing a fiction novel. I'm going to write a couple more, and at the 5-year mark, I'm going to start writing the follow up on my recovery.
All right.
So,
cool. What didn't I ask you that everybody should know?
Well, let me start by saying this: that alcohol is a drug. Alcoholism is an addiction, and that no matter what the substance is, if you're having a problem with it, there is a community in this town that will help you. It's free, and it has saved my life and shown me a life unlike anything I could imagine. And it's just there for the taking. So I have a website, brettdouglasauthor.com. Anyone can send me an email if they have any questions about that.